Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause God
is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Great. Kia, you there?
No, I'm not.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, really,
yes,
I can.
I hear you fine.
Okay, if y'all lose me, shout, because I have a backup mic, so I'm having some trouble with this headset, but it's okay. Welcome to the 1821 Speak Life Radio Show. I am your host, Devon Good, along with my great, great friends and family, Miss Kia Richardson, Brother Pastor Elder Dove. And we are missing one tonight, the Elder. Hopefully he'll join us, but we are going to move on. It's been a few weeks. We've been away, but we're happy to be back. So I have some special guests that's going to be with us tonight that's hanging out. Tonight we're talking about the one. Y'all know that one. Oh, I found the one. So we're posing a question tonight. How did you or how do you know you found the one? Is it a feeling? Is it the butterflies? Is it a look? How did you know that the one you're with or the one you want to be with is the one? So that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Kia, have you found the one?
Well, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to learn how y'all figured out that she was the one. And maybe I need to take him out the friend zone. Maybe my one is in the friend zone and I don't bring him out the friend zone. And so, I mean, my standpoint would be a little different because, unlike you two, I'm single. So maybe my one, I'm keeping him in the friend zone, and I don't bring him out the friend zone because I want somebody else out the friend zone who don't need to be out the friend zone.
So basically, who
well,
you want to be the one. So
you
basically, who you want to be the one may not necessarily.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, see, this
okay.
is the thing. Both of y'all been married for at least 10 years. The dating game has changed drastically. Do you hear me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, now it's like dating in 2016, I would rather learn how to play a game of chess. It's just too much work. I mean, but you got to think, you know, back in the day when you were dating, you actually spent time, like today when I was on my way home, I was thinking, you know, like back in the day before there was social media, before there was this, you didn't have to like all of his or her stats on a thing.
You had to call,
spend time, go out on dates. You didn't have to have no man crush Monday, no woman crush Wednesday. You really got to bond with somebody. I
mm-hmm.
really believe that people are so stuck on, and this is where I guess I got to be a little honest. I'm kind of sort of seeing somebody, and so I told him, I don't want a social media relationship.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just
saying.
Because remember, I just said, I don't know if he's supposed to be out the friend zone, if I'm supposed. So I was honest. So, I mean, I'm at that phase where, you know, it's cute. It's, oh, my God. Oh, he like this. He's in this
man. Wait a minute.
We're in that phase.
Dove.
Yeah.
So Kia got a boo and we don't know about it.
I know, right? She keeping brother on the rap.
If y'all quit interrupting me.
Well, I didn't want to. I'm sorry.
The dude, he's in the friend zone.
He's not in the friend zone. But should he be in the friend zone and somebody else who in the friend zone be out of the friend zone?
Okay.
Wow.
That's what
so
I'm saying. But, I mean, I made it clear that I don't want one of those social media relationships. I had that, and when it failed, it's hard work deleting all them pictures and all of that mess. So,
so he ain't going to make it to Facebook?
I could be married and y'all would never know. I mean, I'm at the point. But see, this is what you find. Okay, because you're married, you don't know this. This is what you find out when you bring somebody out the friend zone and you make it public. People who don't even talk to you start sending this person friend requests.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're friends with you. They may be acquaintances on Facebook. Maybe somebody you went to high school with. And all of a sudden, like, our mutual friends are growing.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm good on all. I just think, I mean, dating in 2006 is like trigonometry or something. I mean, it's just
2016.
Yeah, this year, whatever year this is, yeah. It's just, I mean, it's just not what it used to be. I think that the lack of communication, technology has taken away from the intimacy of getting to know, getting to bond, just things like that. That's just my personal opinion. Again, I'm the single one. You marry me and talk up.
Well, no, we wanted to hear all from all standpoints. And so
that's my personal opinion. I just feel social media takes away from the intimacy of it.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. Half of
that's
what...
like I got an inbox the other day from a guy who said to me, well, you thick. Why don't you ever post full body shots? So I had to say to him, well, listen, on my friends list are pastors, are people who I admire for different reasons. I said, I don't know if they have lust issues. I don't have time for somebody to be sitting there, you know, playing hide the rainbow, looking at no picture of me. I just believe that, I mean, it's not my job to provoke men in any way that he may, or he, this is 2016, it's not my job to provoke him or her in any area that he or she may be struggling in. I mean, that's just my personal preference. But, I mean, so many people are so fixated on the facade of a person on social media, different social media platforms, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, hell, LinkedIn, your mama, your daddy, gram, whatever it is. People are so fixated on the facade of a person that they don't really get to know the person.
Well, and
so,
you know what?
I mean,
I will say, social media has it really has ruined a lot of relationships.
No. Hold on.
Hold on.
Jacked up before the mistress came into play.
Let me correct that. Yes, you allow.
Well, I'm sorry.
Things.
That's your opinion.
Your opinion is
valid.
I see what you're saying. What I'm saying is you can't believe all of what you see on Facebook because y'all
post selfies
every 24 seconds and, you know, bae this and look at bae. You know, that stuff, I think, I mean, every now and then here and there, but every 24 seconds, oh my, babe picked up the leaf for me. Okay, if y'all don't get out my timeline. And I'm, you know, but if that's
I'm finding is sometimes couples who have to do the most fronting on Facebook, that's the most that they show the person who they're in the relationship with affection anyway.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? If you really, really follow people, like, it's sometimes I'm thinking, like, y'all do know that we know y'all in real life. Like, y'all don't even really like each other. Yeah, this is a convenient marriage right about now. Y'all holding on by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Your relationship,
right.
You don't really like. And hold on, even with just friendships, one minute they're sending subliminal posts about each other. Next minute they BFFs all over again. I'm thinking like y'all like a husband and a wife. Y'all just too much for me.
Yeah.
So I just dating. Y'all tell me how y'all knew your missus was the one. You know, what was that moment when you were like, huh, tell me.
Okay, well, before we do that, let's go ahead. And that was from the one and only Miss Kia Richardson. Okay. So coming to the stage. I'm so church and so
singing. We can make
singing.
It to the stage. Pull out the red carpet.
Uh-oh. Coming to the microphone is one of my favorite couples. The elder and the pastor, bishop, and they're going to get me because they are so not on titles, but I just elevated my brother David about 5 times. How y'all doing tonight?
Yeah, you just keep giving us more titles. That's all right.
We're good.
Good, good, good. Listen, I love these people, and I have had the honor to knowing these two for a while now, and it's crazy. Our relationship just grew, and they're two of the most like down earth, coolest pastors, preachers that I know, and so I definitely wanted to have them on the show because I know that they won't just give that whole fairy tale, but they'll give the everything, the good and the bad. So, real quick, want to know, how did y'all know? How did you know that he was the one?
Me first?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I can say this much. It's not about, you know, the butterflies and all the stuff. I think I told you when you asked me about this call that I don't have a, you know, fairy tale story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a look from across the room or anything like that, or nervousness or giggling or, you know, all that little stuff that people think you got to feel this and you got to think that. So as practical as it may sound, for me, it's pretty simple. Would there be another one? No. It's kind
okay.
of that simple. You know, when you can consider in your life, whether it's somebody that you know, somebody that you used to know, people that may be around you, maybe somebody you ever dated before, ever considered dating, could you replace this person, their personality, their, you know, everything about them? Could you replace them with somebody else and consider your life going forward and say, yeah, that would be about the same or better or equal? And for me, when you can't even consider that, when you can't think of somebody else, when you can't consider somebody else, when you can't interject another person or personality into that role and think, okay, my life will be, you know, just as good or better, then, yeah, that's the one. So I think people rely on a lot of things that are passing, a lot of things that don't have a lot to do with relationship. Relationships are hard. Relationships are work. Day-to-day stuff is just that, day-to-day stuff. So this is the funny part. We were, like, reminding each other for the last 2 hours. The call is tonight, right? It's Thursday, right? Yeah, okay, don't forget. Oh, don't worry, Devon will let us know. Right before the call, it was get the clothes off the bed and fold this and do. That's everyday stuff. They don't have nothing to do with butterflies, holding hands, winking, but none of that. I was cooking, he was doing laundry. There's nothing, you know, real romantic about that. There's nothing that kind of, nothing sells a relationship. Nothing like that sells a relationship. And so the things that people kind of count on, the things that they hold on to, are the things that go first. The things that kind of fade away when stuff gets real, when life gets hard, when things get serious. And that's the stuff that you have to consider when it's like, is this the one? Well, you better get past looks and small talk and date night. You know, not saying those things aren't important, but you got to get past that. The person who can take you out to a nice restaurant needs to be the person that can cook for you when there's when you can't do it. It can't just be all of the dating kind of stuff. And so I think some of the things that get people caught up is when it stops being real fun and giddy and exciting and all of that, you think this is no longer the one. Well, no, that's growth.
Good question.
And that's change. And you got to make it through all that.
It's good. Real good. Brother David.
Yeah, of course, everything she said is absolutely correct.
Absolutely.
I heard the young lady speak of dating and friend zones and all of that. Honestly, I think you have to be ready. So as an individual, if you ain't ready, it's hard to consider the other person to be ready. If you're not ready to put a ring on tomorrow and do all the things that my wife was just talking about, yeah, then you're just going to be dating. So it's interesting because for us to be married took a while. So the whole knowing if that's the one, the honest answer for me, I didn't know until God slapped me upside the head. And for me, it was a simpler choice at that point because God ordained it first.
Okay.
And so just being obedient to the Lord, I knew that that was the appointed time for us to be married. But to be in the relationship and like she said, to get past all the cutesy, let me take you out, let's go to the movies. When you get ready to spend the rest of your life with somebody, there's a whole bunch of other things to consider. And so for both of us, the main one is, yeah, there is nobody else. And I truly believe there's nobody else because God did ordain it. And so we're constantly talking about the work that we have to do in the Lord and what we have to do to progress and move forward. And so in that sense, it's the being on the same page will sustain us. Because why? We put God and ministry first. And as long as we're doing that, you know, we have that same page mentality. We often look, it's not every day, but almost every day, we're talking about scriptures and spiritual relationships and how to make ministry grow and how to help people spiritually grow. And then, you know, iron sharpens iron, and we help each other in that sense.
And so, right.
Once you get past the dating phase and you're ready to be married,
mm-hmm.
Certain things start to present themselves.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
And I don't know if you or anybody else on the line that want to answer this. What happens when you know that they're the one, but they don't know? How do we deal with that? How have anybody ever experienced that?
I would say go until you can't go no more.
Okay.
If you feel that way, and you really feel led to go after that relationship, then pursue it. At the
okay.
end of the day, you ain't gonna be no worse off than what you were before.
Mm-hmm. So, you said that you didn't know until God smacked you upside your head. So what was that aha, that light bulb moment, that open eye moment, that like, dude, what are you doing? What was it?
Look, that right there, I got an anxiety attack because, you know, at that time I wasn't even in no church.
Okay.
So for me, it was the epiphany that that this relationship was necessary for me to progress, not only in ministry, but in life itself.
Okay.
And so, you know, I had that Adam moment where, like, I need help. I said, I need help. And he was
mm-hmm.
like, you big dummy, you've had help all this time. You
wow.
need to do what you need to do. So
what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So what was the conversation? Once it was clear to you that this is the one you're supposed to be with, how did you carry that task out? What did you say? What was the state of your relationship at that time? Were you on good terms? Were you on bad terms? How did you carry that out?
Okay.
We weren't really on
subject at this point because you asked the question. That I want to give the female perspective to. And so your question was, you know, what does it look like when one person knows and the other one doesn't? So
okay.
He gave the answer that a man was supposed to give. You pursue it. So I'm going to give the answer that that I think a woman's supposed to give. So quite honestly, I think I knew before he did.
Okay.
And so because I knew before he did, there was a period of time where I felt like I was pursuing, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So I had a couple things, the spiritual part of me that said, you know, a man finds a wife doesn't hunt down a man. And then the very secular, stubborn part of me, if you don't know, then I'm good. So honestly, when I realized that this isn't happening the way I thought it was going to happen, it's not, you know, is it the timing? Is it, you know, a lot of things are kind of getting in the way. It's time for me to take a step back.
So when you took that step back, and so this is the question that I believe that believers go through. When you took that step back, was your mind, did you allow a moment for the enemy to play with your mind? Did you start second guessing, like, well, maybe God didn't say, or maybe he isn't the one? Or did you walk away or step back still firm, saying, you know what, I know what I know, I know what he said, and if it don't work out, it ain't 'cause of me?
Right.
I know that was
right.
Okay.
And that was pretty much it. I've done all I can do. I've said all I can say. If it doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
I know I held up my part. And so it's okay as a woman for you to know, even if you are sure, like I was sure, that this is what God wants to happen. But there are some things, there are some lines I'm not going to cross. There are some things I'm not going to do. And so it's okay to take a step back and let things play out the way they need to play out. I am a firm believer in providence. If it's going to be, it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Brother Dove, your
yeah,
prince,
man.
Your princess, your queen is on the line with us.
Yes, sir.
Sister First Lady Rhonda, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. So how did you know that this brother was the one for you?
He knew I was the one for him.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
It took me a while to.
All right. I had to wear her down.
Uh oh. She was playing hard to get.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't playing hard to get. I just wasn't interested.
All right.
It took a while. I was okay. So. For you who don't know, we are high school sweethearts.
Okay.
And we were not in the church at the time. And
gotcha.
He thought I was cute. And I thought
you was fine.
Okay, so he thought I was fine. And I thought I was fine, too. So,
I shouldn't have said I thought you were fine. You still fine.
I love you.
somebody... Hey, that's why I'm get them brownie points. Go ahead.
We went through our recording stage, and as a matter of fact, it was around Christmas after we had dated and we broke up, and I started dating someone else. And my then boyfriend did not get me anything for Christmas, and my friend Andrew got me a jewelry box for Christmas that I still have to this day. It's over 20, it's 30 years old. Oh, my gosh. I've had this jewelry box for 30 years.
Every kiss begins with K.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was no jewelry in it.
Oh.
But he bought me this beautiful jewelry box.
That's all right. Hey, you had an imagination. It was a jewelry box. You knew what was coming.
Right.
Is there...
Right. So he bought me this jewelry box, and I think at that point he did not know that he had worn me down, but at that point I saw something special in him. I was like, yeah. I don't know if I knew he was the one then, and it definitely wasn't any butterflies, and it wasn't any sweaty palms or anything like that, because I honestly didn't like him like that. But yet at that point with the jewelry box and everything, it was something special about him. The genuineness of his heart,
uh-huh.
the caring that he had before I even knew him to that point, he showed that not only could he be a friend, but he could be more. And I saw that then, and I think we were 16, 17.
Mm.
Yeah, at 16, 17. I think I knew he was the one then, but he wasn't the one right then. It should have taken longer.
Gotcha.
I don't know if I'm saying that the right way.
So you're saying that he was the one, but you probably needed more time before you guys jumped the broom?
Well, actually, we didn't jump the broom right away. We got married at, you were 18, I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
We got married at 18 and 19 years old, and we had a lot of stuff that we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And because we still had a lot of growing together that we needed to do, I can tell you this. When I was 17 and he was still 16,
yeah.
I told him then that you're going to be my husband.
All right.
I told him that he was going to be my husband when I was 17, and he was.
You spoke that thing.
And
She made me. Nah, she just made me marry her. That's all that was.
No, he didn't ask me to marry. He didn't ask me to marry him. I told him, you're going to marry me.
And all I could say was okay.
And we got married 3 days later.
3 days later. He rolled again.
Three days
all right.
After I told him he was going to marry me, we got married.
Well, so how old were you when you got married?
He was 19 and I was 20.
Wow. So how long has it been?
We've been married for 28 years. Yeah. We've been married for 28 years. And no, it hasn't been easy. It has been a struggle. There have been a lot of ups and downs.
Uh-huh.
But what
wow.
I saw in him at the age of 16 was somewhere still in there. And so that's we're still together.
That is awesome. So he knew.
I
think I'm confusing him. No, okay.
Yeah, you knew.
I ain't know.
You didn't know I was sitting there?
Nope.
Well, so what was it?
I told you. Because, you know, if you know our story, you know, we met at McDonald's in high school. She was working there. I was working there. She asked to sit down. They ate lunch with me. And at the time, you know, they tailored McDonald's uniforms differently
don't
for females than they did with males. Males, you had these big, ugly, baggy uniforms, and the females, they fit their waist. The pants were extremely tight, and her bottom looked real good in the McDonald's pants, and it caught my attention.
Really?
And it was physical. It didn't have nothing to do with no butterflies. I looked at you and said, "You're the finest thing I'd ever seen in my life," and you had a brother caught up.
Okay.
it wasn't anything that I just knew that she was the one.
I'm gonna say because that physical does not make you the one.
And then you know, I think it took. When I broke up with her, when we started this little kind of kitty relationship, which it was at the time, it was very immature of me.
Mm-hmm.
And she started dating this other guy, and I seen them together, and broke up, and it was after I seen her with him that I realized that I had deeper feelings for her. And it wasn't just, you know, I just want to sleep with you. And then, you know, that was the process. Then I started the process that I call, you know, I wore down because every day that I seen her, I told her that I loved her.
Every time.
I used to tell this woman that I loved her probably 20, 30 times a day. And every time that I seen her.
Every time.
I had made it up in my mind one night. And I told my buddies, I said, this is the last time I'm telling her that I love her, and I'm just going to just flat out, look, you going to be my lady or what? And then if she said no, then I was ready to move on. But it was at one particular time, you know, I just said, so, you know, I love you. You going to be my lady or what? And then she said yes. And then that's how everything started from there.
So, question.
Yeah.
What do you do, or is it even possible to know that someone is the one and you're saved, but they're not? Because, you know, we heard for the longest the don't be unequally yoked and all of that jazz. So we have a bunch of preachers and pastors on the line. So I would like to, from the bushes to the doves, give me your insight on that. How does that play out? Is it possible? Or is it something you should not even try to open? Or even Kia? You want anybody? Y'all there?
Don't nobody want to touch that?
That's a hard task. That's something that is so hard to get into. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian and you get in a relationship with someone who is not a Christian, who has been out there and has been a part of the world and has done all the things that you are saving yourself from doing, you're going to have an uphill battle all the way. That is a struggle that me personally, I wouldn't want to go through anything like that. And thank God I found my husband when we both were in the same boat and we grew together. But I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That's a hard battle to have to go through. I
like that
do
response.
It. I know.
So,
I know that I could not do it.
So basically what you're saying is that you're not necessarily saying it's wrong, but if you do it, be ready for everything that comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, the temptations is too strong out there. And I'm not saying that you can't go through the temptations and come out on the top of it and be okay. But if you know that these are the temptations and the battles that you're going to struggle with, why would you even put yourself in that position? That's just like even if you are a married man and you're out there and you know that you love your wife, but somebody out there that you are allowing yourself to be around on the daily basis is constantly throwing themselves at you, and you know they want you, but you still allowing yourself to be put in that position where eventually something is going to happen. If you're not strong enough in the Lord, how long can you fight if somebody's throwing themselves at you left and right?
So what happens when, let's just say, let's change it. They're both Christians. Both of you are Christians, but two different religions. And we have this common ground that we both know, that we know we love each other, but we're separated because of our religious beliefs. Anybody?
Well, you know, I know of two couples, in that situation. One is divorced and one still married.
Okay.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. The couple that's still married, they have approached it, you know, different. Their approach to it was, you know, we will meet on the common grounds because the husband's Muslim and the wife is Christian. They said that they will meet on common ground and anything whatever they consider common in their marriage, that's what they consider common.
I mean,
They choose not to make an argument about their beliefs, even with their children.
Well, let me ask this. Where did they get married at?
If I'm not mistaken, I think they got married at the courthouse.
Okay, wow. Really married?
Yes, they are married.
Okay, well, I mean, I was just asking because we all know the tradition of the Muslims, so that's why I was asking to figure out which background they use for their marital bliss. That's all.
But you know what? I like the way they did that.
I mean, because you know.
Because, as you said, Kia, because we do know the customs of the Muslims and whatever her religion may have been. She's Christian. So, you know, that is so far-fetched. I mean, it's so far-stretched from the other. So the
right.
fact that he said that they met on that common ground and went to the Justice of Peace, I would say that it would be decisions like that, if they would continue to implement those things, could give them a better pathway to having a successful marriage. I think it's when – I know of a couple who they're no longer married. And in fact, when they began to date, I advised them not to do it. But you know how ninjas are when they think they're in love. You can't tell them nothing. And he was Jehovah's Witness, and she was halfway Baptist. I mean, I don't even think she was even. But they got together, and that physical got them together, sex got them together, then pregnancy, and then let's get married. Now, at the time, he was disfellowshipped. And I told him, I said, now, do you plan on staying in this, or are you going to veer away or go, oh, man, I'm going to stay in this, you know. But, you know, she been inquiring and stuff. I know I'm going to be at a converter. I said, that's already a recipe for this, for a destruction. The fact that you know what she stands for, she knows what you stand for, but in the back of your mind, you feel like you're going to convert her, you know, and it blew up. It blew up in his face, and it was, oh, it was terrible. It was nasty. It was just, it wasn't good. So, definitely, I think that, that I like that one, them really having that common ground. So
I can kind of do that one a little bit too, because David and I had different upbringing. So he grew up Jehovah's Witness, and I grew up in the Methodist Church, and right now we're both in the Methodist Church. So for years in our relationship, in the beginning, it wasn't an issue, because let's be honest, a lot of people can claim a religious background, but not a lot of religious fidelity. You can say you're Methodist or Baptist or Witness, and that might be by birth or it may be by choice, but you may not be very strong in your religious practice. So I think that's why initially people from different faith backgrounds can come together. In our case, we were both pretty involved in our particular churches, but talking about common ground, we talked about, you know, what my faith is, what his faith is, what we believe, and really our common ground just became the Bible. If there was no religion, and he would ask us all the time, if Jesus was here today, what church would he go to? If there was no name on the building, what do you believe? And that's where we could come together. This is what we believe. I will say this, too, because you did kind of talk about one person being saved and another person not. So just like the Bible says not to be unequally yoked, the Bible also lets us know that a saved spouse can cover an unsaved spouse until you are, in fact, saved. And so I think that goes back to, is this a union that God put together? Because if it is, it can make it through that. God knew who he put together. So I think unequally yoked is ultimately, are you unequally yoked? Not whether or not you begin that way.
Let me interject real quick. So you're saying, ooh, Lord, you got kicked out of my home church. So you're saying right now, and I just want to, that you believe that God can put two together, one saved and the other not saved, and it's his plan.
Yes, I do.
All right. I believe that too. At one point I didn't. Oh my God. Because the brainwashing which I came out of, let me hear you was marrying somebody that was not of, because see, our church, we were the only ones going to heaven anyway. All of y'all on this phone was going to hell. So, I mean, but I think as I got older and got to know God for myself, and I realized that God is bigger than what I was exposed to, then that allowed me to be able to comprehend God on a bigger level, to where maybe he thinks you're strong enough to go through that journey with that person who is not saved, and they are a straight email from hell, just a crazy nut needing help. But maybe that was your journey. That was your task. That was what God set for you to go through. And I think, you know, not every situation, because I do believe we have a lot of add water and stir relationships, but I do believe that that for some, you know, there is a message in that. So God is using you to help this person, but he also is showing you and teaching you something as well. So I like that. Cool. See, so some people. So let's talk about this real quick. what? Let's see. So we talked about the one. Let's help some of those ones that are. Now, let me throw this out here. I am not, nor are any of these people on this show telling you or giving you a license to go file for a divorce tomorrow. That's not what we are saying. However, I think we are talking to the ones before marriage. Let's talk to those ones who are dating or looking to date. Let's talk to ones that are dating and that it's not going so well. Or it's just terrible, but the feelings are involved. You can't get out. The one that's not the one. What are the signs? How do you know that he's not the one? Now, again, if you're married, you're going to take that up with you, God, and a counselor. Anybody? Y'all quiet tonight. Y'all normally rowdy talking.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I do want to say something about when you ask your question about being unequally yoked. I think we as women, we kind of feel like we can fix, we can repair, we can rebuild all things. But that doesn't mean a man. When a man's mind is made up, he is going to do what he wants to do. So often, we as women of God, we find this man who we feel, and I mean, we say some real dumb stuff too. Well, I believe that if I introduce him to God, he'll be healed, and then he'll be right for me, and then God can, no. What if the only purpose was for you to introduce him to God so that way he could be healed for the lady that God has for him? So often you have women of God who use that as a form of manipulation, and then when it backfires, she eventually marries this man, she dates this man, and he or she is the husband from hell or the guy she dated from hell. But we set ourselves up for that because we go into it with an ulterior motive. You see a broken vase, and you want to be the glue that puts it back together. And you want to use it for your good, for what you want to use it for.
Together again. Hey, if you're listening to the show and you want to call in, give us a call at 619-924-9859. And I believe you can press the number 1 and we'll bring you on if you want to ask a question or give a comment.
That's my personal opinion.
No, I like that.
So many women of God taking broken vases, wanting to put them back together for their good, polish them up, shine them up, sculpt them up, and we end up more broken than what we were when we started on this fiasco of a journey, knowing darn well the Lord ain't bit more told us that this man was for us, he was any good for us. We make a lot of messes ourselves in the dating realm. But, I mean, you have some marriages who, you know, were created out of some shackles and now they're shambles. So, I mean, you know, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. So, the one, what do you do?
I don't know.
When you found the one, but mama
Hold
and
on,
daddy.
Hold on, don't let go.
Mama and daddy, sister and brother, pastor and first lady, cousin, best friend. Days, you crazy.
You talking about introduce him to? Oh, yeah. That's what you do.
He ain't the one, girl. Man, you crazy. She ain't the one. You know who she been with? How do we help those people?
But why does that matter?
Why does it matter?
I mean, because this is my thought. I feel like if you're not a virgin, But me being me, well, just me, I'm going to be honest. Well, first of all, I'm picky about how honest I'm going to be with somebody. If we're just going out for dinner, you don't even need to know none of that. All you need to know is put out your card, swipe your card, open up the doors, make sure I eat good, let's have a good time. However, if we are pursuing a relationship, that's when, especially women who have been broken, women who have been battered, women who have been left and only God could have ever healed her, it's important that you are honest when you date, because there are things when you date that may be triggers from past relationships that could bring up ill feelings. And I think it's only fair that you are honest with the man that you are, like, seriously dating. Because let's say we're out somewhere and let's just say he displays this behavior that reminds me of somebody who abused me. And then I become defensive. I'm no longer vulnerable. I become defensive and I'm protecting myself. He has no idea what he did, why it affected me, why 5 minutes ago we were fine and now everything has been altered. I believe it is important that we as women and men, because, you know, men, they come broken too, but I'm a woman, so I can only speak for me. I believe that it is important that we are honest and upfront with men. That way, when things trigger, it makes sense to them. Just because it makes sense to us doesn't mean that they understand why he displayed this behavior. You immediately became protective and defensive of your own self, protecting yourself from him, and he has no idea why.
I believe that wholeheartedly, and I think it also begins with being honest with ourselves. So one of the things when, you know, Devon asked about getting into relationships, the dating phase, why are you still with this person? A lot of people are still with somebody because they have to be with somebody. I just had this conversation with someone the other day. When I did see him, I don't have to have somebody else to leave you. I'll just leave you alone. I don't have to have another person. I'm good by myself. So I think people get themselves caught up in situations and stay too long because they don't know how to be by themselves. They don't want to be by themselves. Either they haven't been or they need somebody else to help entertain them, to help define them.
Absolutely.
Support them, and so they stay in relationships they have no business staying in. Some people know full well he's not the one. He's just one, and until I get another one, I'll stay here. And there are people who have to replace relationships. I have the gift of goodbye. I don't have to replace you. I can just go on and be by myself. And so you have to be honest with yourself about why you're in it in the first place. Do you need somebody to be with, to say this is who I am, or are you okay just being who you are? And there are a lot of, and I can only speak from the female point of view also, there are a lot of females that just are not okay being by themselves. So they'll subject themselves to things, to people. They'll take some things that they shouldn't take until they are sure they can move on and be with somebody else.
So
now that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So it's basically, I was listening and I had something else that I was going to add in there. Oh man. That's real good. Crap. I had a mind fart, man. Anyway, it'll come back to me. So, the one. What happens when? I think we already hit on that. Actually, we hit on the fact about. When we hold on, well, 1 second, I'm reading some. Is the one really or anybody? I didn't get that question. How do you make it through those trying times when you know you have the one? Because a lot of people give up. A lot of people throw in the towel. A lot of people, you know, if he's the one, if she's the one, you're going to have to be the one in the good, the bad, the up and down. How do you still hold that up, even though you are upset, you know, not in love right now, feeling lonely, feeling this type of way, every way but the right way? How do you still hold true to saying that they're the one?
Devon, I think, well, I think it's all in commitment. And I don't know if you remember the question you asked me a long time ago when we first met, when you heard my testimony about when me and my wife were separated, getting ready to divorce.
Right.
You asked me what made me want to go back to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, do not give me the super spiritual answer about Jesus just sent me that way or whatever, however you worded it. And when I thought about the question, I said, because I wanted to. I had to be committed to doing it for me to want to make it work. So
mm-hmm.
it has to be a commitment on your part, on whomever's part to want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go in with the mindset of, you know, failure is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially, you know, like with me and my wife, you know, when we went through what we went through, like we were getting ready to divorce. And when we got back together, she made my life hell. I knew at that time that, you know, I wanted my wife. And at the time, she had slipped away from the church. And I was reintroducing the church back to her because at that time, you know, I got saved. And when we would be together, she would blow smoke in my face because she had started smoking, and she
mm-hmm.
did it out of spite. She would go out with her friends out of spite. And the only thing I could do was just say, I still love you. You know, I still love you, and regardless of what you do now, I'm still gonna love you. You have to just go in the mindset of, you know, I'm just gonna show you grace and love throughout this entire thing, and I'm committed to making this work. I know that's
right.
What it was for us.
Okay. So, do you think he only gives you one? So what happens? Yes. Okay. So what about in the case if somebody dies? If somebody, you did all that you were supposed to do on your end, but the other party didn't, it didn't work. Do you get another one?
For some people, the second or third time around, you know, it works out perfectly for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because number one, you know, it could have been feelings in the beginning. It could have been anything in the beginning. It could have been, you know, they were just caught up in the previous relationships and just jumped the gun, you know, and it really didn't work out. But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, we always tell everybody, you know, to each his own. But, you know, I tell young couples, you know, like with me, I tell young couples, you know, be careful of who you date.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, you know, because you're just practicing.
Mm. Okay. That's good.
I think you can. There can be someone else also because I mean, if you just look at the population right now and the 60, 70 year olds who may have outlived a spouse, that are still active, that are still, so, you know, to say no is to say somebody in their later years can't marry again. So is there, can there be another one for another stage in your life? Sure. It may be your second go around, maybe not because of divorce, but like you said, maybe because of death. I can't remember what I was watching or whose timeline I was on, but, you know, saw wedding photos of a, you know, 65-year-old bride. She outlived her first husband. So we have to know that God sees us through all of our stages. You know, if you were married at 16, great, and you have 70 years together, wonderful. If you were married and lost a spouse, if for reasons, like the man was saying, you were immature, it didn't last, you did all the wrong things, and somebody or neither one of you was committed, but you get older and you're more mature and you learn and you grow, maybe you go from unsaved to saved, and now this time around, You make better choices, and you know what commitment is, and you can last.
That's good. And I like the way the show evolved, that, you know, because I know a lot of people were going to be thinking, like, you know, are we, you know, a lot of times people get fairy tale stories and I don't like that. That conversation that that Pastor Dove was talking about, Tania and I had just went through a horrible storm, and I called him and I said, man, how did you, or what made you stay? What made you keep going on? And I told him, as he said today, I don't want the churchy, you know, man of God, you've got to stay in the fire, because you know, I wasn't at that place there. Where I was at was, how in the F, I'm tired of this S, this, that's where I was. The minister, and I don't think I had to even say those words. I think by his response, he already knew where I was. And I believe that that's a good thing about relationship, having relationships in your relationships that can speak to you in that dark hour, not necessarily what to do, but speaking life to you, and will be there regardless of what you decide to do. And so I wanted to do this show because we have a lot of people that are popping up and, oh, I'm in love, and oh my God, and he's the one, and she's the one. But soon as the first storm, well, wait a minute. You know, that whole man candy Mondays, that's how marriages have become. You know, they might last a little longer from week to week, but marriages and relationships they're not like they used to be. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight was, you know, the one, you know, and then we have to ask that question. Let's for the ones who can help me, pastors, elders here, all y'all. What was that checkoff list, or that list, that mental or even physical list that was written down that you said, yep, not really on that one, but we'll take that one. Yep, that's good. Yeah, I don't really like that, but I'm willing. Anybody?
I don't think with us, well, with me, with Rhonda, I didn't have a list.
Okay.
It was just, you know, I had to get her attention from the other guy first. And once I got her attention, I just did everything that I could to please her, to make her happy, to make her feel special. And I in return, you know, because of the way I treated her, she treated me the same way. And I guess, you know, it wasn't just a list because, you know, I can go down and say, you know, she has beautiful eyes, check. You know, she has a nice body, check. You know, she has a okay personality at times, check. You know, I could do all that, but you know, from the beginning, it wasn't a list. It was just, you know, I treat you well, you treat me well, so I like the way I feel right now. I like where we're at, and I think that's all it was with us.
Okay. You said sometimes. No, don't get in trouble, man.
That's that honesty we were talking about earlier.
Right. Right. But, okay, so let me ask you this. And this is what I don't see a lot. So, and this is for the guys. See, my definition of the one, most guys won't propose or ask a girl to marry him unless he knows what she's going to say. Nobody wants to be turned down or, you know, dissed or however. But I'm just a believer. I know when I asked Tania to marry me, I knew that she was going to, but I was at a point to where if she said no, I would have been crushed, but that did not change my desire to pose the question. And so I believe that we're dealing with a generation of people that their love and their decision for that one is conditional. Would you all agree?
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yeah. And generation. Yeah.
And I would say that whether you know what that person is going to say or not, if they're the one, so you say, whether they say no, get out of my face, I wouldn't marry you. Does that change your decision? So I think when you start looking at, is this person the one? Is this person that? I think it has to be, it can't just be a one-sided thing. And I believe that I don't know who said that tonight, that people are getting married for, I don't know, was that this show? I might be mixing the show. But I believe that people are not necessarily getting married for love and for that companionship. You know, I believe that some people are just getting married because it's something to do. They are in love with the idea of a wedding and not necessarily the marriage. Because I'm going to tell you, real life starts after that honeymoon is over and after all the cake has been cut and gifts have been opened. Now we want to see, are they still the one? You know, we were talking to a young couple not too long ago, and they were like, well, hold on. Oh, so Tania just hit me up and said, you know, there's no standard now. The women are asking the men. What do y'all think about that? Let's kind of change. What do y'all think about that? Do you think? Let me ask you this before you answer. Do you think if a woman asks a man to marry her, she's opening up the door, not necessarily for initial failure, but on down the line, just because she's changed the dynamic? She's changed in what I believe how it was supposed to be.
I guess that that fits us to the T because, like I said, she said that I'm going to be her husband and I'm going to marry her. And all I said was okay. There was no proposal, no nothing. It was just a mandate. And, you know, and I went with it. Like I had a choice in it, but, you know, we did things just like you just said. Now, in the beginning, was it hell? Yes. Did it turn out better later? Yes. So, you know, it worked out for us. I can't speak
right.
for everybody else because, you know, it might not work for somebody else. But for us, you know, we're fine. We're good now.
Anybody else?
I don't think, well, two things. One, I don't like the idea of that. That's a personal opinion. But I don't think it necessarily sets you up for failure initially. It does change the dynamic of it, but it also lets you know, lets the man know right off that, if he doesn't know already, the type of woman that you're dealing with. There's a certain type of woman that would do that. Personally, and I don't think I'm real big on tradition, but it's not something I would do. It's not something, let me go here, that I would even want my daughter to do. I could say that, because it does kind of put you in a role that I don't think you as the woman belong in.
Right.
I don't think it necessarily sets you up for failure, though, because you can't discount who the individuals are. You can't discount the type of woman she is and the type of man that she's proposing to. So not necessarily failure, but it does change the tone.
But does that
of the,
but
of
is
the
that
relationship.
And I know I'm being super deep even asking this question, but is that biblical? Am I stretching here if I say, but what about the Bible says a man that findeth a wife? So if I was supposed to have found her, shouldn't I be the one asking? I mean, am I being, y'all help me out.
You should. So is there a reason why you won't? I mean, if this is a marriage that's supposed to happen and you're with each other anyway, is there a reason why you won't? And does that particular woman know that and said, okay, look, he's not doing this for whatever reason, I'm going to do it. And I'm really just kind of playing devil's advocate because, again, I don't agree with that. But, yeah, it should be the man that finds the wife. But what if you do, and this is this man and this is this woman, but for whatever reason he won't ask?
I would tell you he probably don't want to. Because honestly, if I
will
did it over
again, will her asking change it though? If he doesn't want to, even if she asks,
it
won't
might
change anything, right?
It might. I believe that it could. Me personally, if I hadn't asked you to marry you, depending on how long we've been together, if let's just hypothetically speaking, God forbid, if I had to do it all over again. And we're dating for a while. And let's just say we're dating 5 years. That's a long time. If I've not asked you to marry me, there's something wrong. Chances are I don't want to marry you.
So if she asks and you don't want to, her asking would make you say yes to something that you know you don't want to do?
It wouldn't make me, but I believe that it will make some men. That I do believe. I would probably look at you like you're crazy and laugh like, are you serious? Like, you didn't, you know. And she'll probably cut me because I probably would have told her no right then in front of everybody. I mean, that's me. Because I would feel like, what are you doing? Are you serious? So, yeah. So the one. The one. We found the one. What are steps that should be taken to secure and to make sure that this is the one? That we are, one, I would probably say,
and you guys can agree or disagree. Should we start? How early should we start premarital counseling?
As soon as you know, that's what you're going to do. I think you kind of hit on it earlier, talking about different relationships around you. Like when your relationship was in trouble, you had somebody to go to. And I'm going to say something a little controversial, but that's okay. That's me. As a female, you need to have some good female friends to go to, not all single females.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you also need to have some male friends that you can trust to go to, because you need
right.
to hear something from a male perspective, because
right.
you don't know all the answers, and neither do your female friends. So I think that's one of the reasons why it would be good to start the marital counseling as soon as possible, because that's going to interject into your thinking and both of your thinking some things that you may not be considering. You said it earlier. Some people get married because they like the idea of marriage. Like
right.
people having babies, so they like babies. You don't like 10-year-olds and 15-year-olds. You like newborns. So you,
right.
you like the idea of the wedding. You want to pick out stuff and you want some new stuff. Marital counseling brings things home real quick. If you
right.
have good marital counseling, they're going to bring up conversations that you've not talked about. They're going to bring up situations that you've not considered. If you are getting counseled by someone, we had the benefit of counseling from a couple who was in ministry, who were parents, grandparents. I mean, what had they not gone through? Health issues, things like that. So when you say, for better or worse, and the sickness and health, they're like, okay, this is what the sickness part looks like, and this
right.
is what the worst part looks like. The things that nobody considers or you don't consider very much of. So the counseling is so crucial as soon as you can get it, because it allows you to begin to have some conversations different from, they're not dating conversations. They're not conversations about, you know, plans for the future and goals and great ideas, because all of those things are positive. The counseling will allow you to have some very real conversations. And I'll be honest, I've counseled two couples to get married. One of them
uh-huh.
got married, the other one did not.
Was that because
can do for you.
And I definitely agree.
I
agree.
It's just because some conversations happened that needed to happen, and let them happen now. Let
yeah.
them happen before you say I do. Because if you can't agree with this, if we can't come together on this, now's the time to find out.
See, I totally agree with that, because I believe that counseling should show the good, bad, and the ugly. Counseling should get you to a place to where it's like, after knowing all I know, do I still want to go forward? Like, really?
Yeah.
As a pastor, and Pastor Dove and First Lady and Pastor Bush, I'm coming to you, Pastor, I thought I found the one, but they're not the one. Can I divorce? Or because of my commitment, even though they're not the one, do I have to stay in this marriage and have to work it out? Cricket, crickets, crickets.
Well, I know, you know, we don't advocate divorce,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, and if it's physical and, you know, people putting their hands on, you know, we don't recommend people staying together if one or both parties are putting their hands on each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have a mutual friend that, you know, it didn't work for them first time around, but it is working for them now, second time around. You know, I would always go the route of reconciliation, because I know for a fact that it works. It worked with me and my wife. Can you meet somewhere on common ground? You know, sometimes you can. But in those cases where you can't, and you know that there is no means to make it right, you know, sometimes they have to separate, you know, to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you say, like with the show topic, you know, that person might not be the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you rushed into it because of feelings. You rushed into it because of something else, of stupidity. Like when my wife and I were young, and, you know, when she told me that I was going to marry her, you know, we were teenagers. She was pregnant. I was getting ready to go in the military. And I would have asked her to marry me had she not said it, because, you know, I knew that she was the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was in love with her. But, you know, when she said that's why, you know, I was like, okay. And when we got ready to divorce, we didn't have any counseling. Matter of fact, when we got married, we didn't have any premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have anything. And when we got ready to divorce, there was nothing but hurt feelings and everything else there, and you know, a lot of arguing and fighting. And, you know, but we had to come to that reconciliation point. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I always think that there's a chance for anybody if you give it a chance.
Gotcha. So when you were at that moment of divorce, now you, how did you get, so I know you told me you stayed because you wanted to, but who was the one that spoke up? Who was the one that said, okay, something has to give. Either we're going to do this or we're going to end this. Who was that voice of reasoning?
I think at the time it was both of us. She was going through a rough patch, you know, in our separation, and she had got to a point to where she turned to God, and her thing was with God, I need you to send me a godly man and send him to me now. I've got to have a godly man in my life, and if it, you know, in order for my life to be something now, I gotta have this. And not knowing that I had gotten saved, and I was starting to find myself in Christ, and it came across through a phone call. You know, she was working some kind of telemarketing job. She called me just to make a sale, and I was like, "Hey, you sound good. Let's talk." And we became friends again, and from that, then it progressed, and then we were like, then it came back. Hey, man, look, I'm saved. You say, let's try to make this work, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, and it was hell from the beginning. You know, when we got back together, I mean, it was rough.
So, would you say it's very important when you think you have found the one, if you don't already have one, but it is in your best interest to make sure that you guys are good friends or have a strong friendship?
I would agree with that, because,
absolutely,
you know, I know if you see anything that I post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, anything about my wife, I always put in that, you know, I'm with my best friend, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she is my best friend. She has
mm-hmm.
been my best friend from just about day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's it for me when it comes to best friends. I would agree wholeheartedly that person needs to be your best friend. They need to know
mm-hmm.
your ins and outs. They need to know you better than you know yourself.
You hit that on the nail. And that's one thing I was going to say. If you can't totally be 100% yourself, I mean, the good and the bad, the embarrassing things. Like, I think for someone to have to, for someone to be your one, you have to be totally comfortable being naked. And I'm not talking about necessarily the physical, but being naked as to who you truly are. If you eat boogers, I mean, I'm going to the extreme, but trying to make my point that that one should, like you said, should know you. If you're not comfortable around that person 100% with any and everything, I would question if they're the one. The one says that if you're on your deathbed and you're stricken with cancer and I got to wipe your behind, because now this is where the I would say your vows come into play. The one says that if, you know, I have to feed you with a spoon because you're unable to. See, the one says, can you stick it out? You know, if Junior can't come out and play no more. I mean, you got to look at all those things. Y'all leaving me out here on my own.
You lost me at the eating boogers part, because then we're done, honestly.
Wait a minute. He's the one. That's just the part you didn't know. That's something he's struggling. He's
the no, sir.
The one for somebody.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But
I
no,
mean,
that is the real that is the real stuff, and it's like I said, you gotta get past the fairy tale. I'm gonna blame it on fairy tales. I'm gonna blame it on songs. I'm gonna blame it on video. All of this idealized, what it looks like when it's great and wonderful and shiny. You have to get past all of that. You have to have friends that help you get past that. You have to have, it helps to have the counseling that helps you get past that. It's already been said, you have to have the commitment to get mm-hmm. past it. It's not just that I said it's the one, or I believe or think it's the one. When we have all of these conversations and we consider as much of life as you can possibly consider, who else would you go through all that with?
And also, the one should be able to say, you know what, you need to get your stuff together. And they might use a different word. But the one should be able to check you and pull your coattail and be able to get you to that point, like, really? That face, really? Are you serious? The one should know your like the back of their hand. You know, it should just, man, I know your move. I know what you're thinking right now. And that takes time. But I think that's where the friendship, that's where the relationship comes in at. So this has been a wonderful show. Wonderful show. Wonderful show. We want to, thank you guys for tuning in. And check back with us next week. We're going to be back on the air. Give us a few minutes after we get off the air. You will be able to listen to the show. They're all archived. We want to just encourage you to continue to speak life and join back with us next week. I want to thank everybody that was our guest tonight. And God bless you all. And we are out. Have a good night. Remember to speak life.
them boys on the track.